Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of air related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Steven. He's the co-founder and CEO of Trio ACO, which is one of the solutions out there when it comes to really creating the organic search and traffic that you can get out of amazing content that you can put out there in the web. And I think this is one of the main sources of things. Unfortunately, e-commerce sellers really struggle, like how I create traffic outside the marketplace I am in, right? How I create that evergreen content that regardless of me, you know, putting my ads off, like my content is out there and traffic is coming to me, and potentially those are going to be clients that are going to be converting into loyal fans and traveling for my brand. So that's why I wanted to bring Steven, because I think this is a very interesting topic that I feel we talk a lot and we mention a lot, but we don't actually implement. And that's going to be all about today's conversation. So, Steven, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm super excited. As I said, this is a topic that I feel so many commerce sellers struggle to really execute. And I'm really keen to, you know, hear some of your takeaways, some of your strategies. But before we dive into that, I know you have a great entrepreneurship, you know, your journey so far. So share a little bit about who is Steven, how you got started with the company, and then we can go from there.
Yeah. So before Trio SEO, I co-owned a portfolio of about 40 different blogs. This was in the Amazon affiliate kind of heydays back in the day. And we published around 300 to 400 articles per month across the entire portfolio and scaled that to 7 figures. So it was a pretty fun ride. We had about a team of 30 people, not including writers, and just dabbled in every single niche that we possibly could, whether we were buying, building, or, you know, kind of flipping websites through Empire Flippers and Flippa, and just kind of running through the entire affiliate space. So had a really crazy ride with that. And now I'm working on Trio SEO and I get to apply all of my tips and tricks and strategies to clients, kind of help them grow their organic traffic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very nice. Now, I think when it comes to, you know, blogging is something that is been out there for a while. But as you mentioned, like at the end of the day, there's signs that you have to follow to do it properly, because not only about, you know, putting a piece of content out there and that's it, it's actually making sure you have the right keywords, you do the right indexation, backlinks, and all of that. So there is actually a lot of strategies that go with a successful release of a blog, right? And I think I want to start with that, because I feel if we don't understand the foundation of what makes a good blog in the first place, it's difficult to then go even deeper into more sophisticated strategies, I could call them. So maybe let's start with that. Like maybe high level we can start, and then we can go down the rabbit hole. What are some of the things you feel a blog must have to be a successful blog?
Yeah. I think the main things are going to be just making sure that it matches the search intent and answers the topic clearly and quickly. I think that that's kind of a big thing, is that people try to optimize their pages for Google and forget that real people are reading the pages. So, you know, when it comes to like take a recipe article, for example, like how many times have you been searching for something, trying to cook or do something, and it's like 2000 words of nonsense content. And it's just like, hey, give me the recipe. I don't care about anything else. And so from that perspective, like, you know, give people what they want, build trust in, and like also showcase your expertise on that page, whether it's like your author bio or, you know, why you're in this space and kind of like why you have the authority to speak on this topic. And so I think that if you can just kind of do a little bit of, you know, minor tweaks here and there to your content, it'll go a long way. But yeah, obviously that's more of like the front facing side of it, but a lot of it just comes down to picking the right topics and making sure that it's more aligned to the customer's journey and like going after bottom of funnel content rather than top of funnel content that has like just meaningless traffic.
Now, when it comes to that, I feel if you're not an experienced person when it comes to writing blogs, it could be difficult to really come up with a topic or maybe a structure that could properly connect with the avatar you're trying to target. Because effectively, if you don't know the kind of tonality that you have to use, the type of keywords you have to use, even from an SEO perspective, you don't know what kind of things are going to allow you to get positioned, it can be tough. So I guess when it comes to that, I'm sure there's tools out there, or there's methodologies. Like, what are some of the initial things people should be aware of to start figuring out these things around the brand?
Yeah, so I live in Ahrefs. It's one of the best tools out there. Semrush is a pretty good competitor to that as well. It's a little bit cheaper, so it's a good like beginner tool. And it just allows you to take a look at any site, see what keywords are ranking for, and start to think about like how does this keyword map to where that customer is in their journey, and how do I create content for that? And then the next thing is actually just looking at articles. Like you can learn a lot by just Googling the topic and seeing what ranks, and then Googling and like seeing what is the structure of their article, like should I match that and then try and make it better. So, you know, if it's a sequential order for a topic or something like how, you know, say best winter jackets or best ski jackets, like you should probably talk about what makes a good ski jacket, like what are the waterproof ratings, what is the like how cold can I go in the temperature of it, what kind of like weather is it suited for. So, I mean, it's not like it's rocket science, it's just it's not. You have to kind of think like you're in that point of view and create content as if it covers all aspects of their journey.
Awesome. Now, when it comes to start generating the strategy around blog, I feel another thing that people sometimes is confused about is the frequency of it, right? Some people might think that blogs are something that you only do maybe once every month or once every week or daily. Like, people is really confused about what is the level of quantity I have to put out there to have a significant impact on my business, right? And I'm sure the answer may lie somewhere along the lines of also the quality is going to significant impact on this. But I'm sure there's also maybe some trends you have identified, like, oh, if you do blog once per week on Google Ads, that gives some kind of authority or something along those lines. So is there some kind of frequency that you think, like, if you're going to do blog, you need to be consistent, or otherwise really you're not going to move the needle? Is that something that you have seen in terms of behavior?
Yeah, so if you have a good strategy in place, like you know your topics, say you have 50 topics selected and you're okay, I'm gonna go after X amount per month. Anything is better than nothing, which is kind of a hard answer because, you know, as long as you're doing something consistently over a long enough period of time, it will work out. I would say that like the sweet spot that we have found for clients is like 7 articles per month. That's where our package starts. But, you know, if budget, you know, constraints come into question, then we can go into like that 3 to 5 territory. But when it comes down to like if you're just doing this by yourself, like even if you're doing 1 or 2 per month and you look back over a year, you're gonna have, you know, 12 to 24 articles at the end of the year. So I think it's really just about extending your time horizon and looking long term. And as long as you're consistent with the content you're creating, it's gonna pay dividends down the road.
Awesome. I feel now to start bringing this a little bit closer home, in this case, Amazon and marketplace in general. Like, how are you seeing, for example, e-commerce sellers start to implement blogging? Because I know for a fact some of the biggest brands out there, what they do is, for example, promote the product for the top 10 phone cases, top 10 yoga mats, top 10 X, Y, and Z or reviews. So that's something definitely that people first sometimes go to Google and then go to Amazon. So I wanted to hear your thought. Like, besides that strategy, is there anything else you see from a blogging perspective that for some of your clients is working in terms of links or anything like that?
Yeah, so the traditional like best of articles are definitely much harder than they used to be. Google's been really cracking down on trying to just make sure the quality's there. Like if you're gonna put out a best of article, make sure that you have, you know, legit pictures. Did you actually hand test all of these to make sure? Like the better the more time you invest in that content, the better it's gonna be overall. So that's the first thing. I think there's a lot of also like other opportunity around like versus topics. It could be like going back to the ski jacket, it could be like Gore-Tex versus, you know, insert other type of jacket material. And then from there on out, you can offer like the best Gore-Tex jacket. So looking at like brand A versus brand B, product A versus product C, and then also potentially adding in like option C as your product itself and how you can work that into the conversation. Competitor topics are also really good. Like if you know that there's a like massive brand out there that has a lot of search volume around it, how can you position that content in your favor? It's one of those things where people are somewhat hesitant to speak about competitors on their site when really it's actually the best opportunity for your brand because you don't have to bash them. But if you just give people an honest, take on it and then give them an alternative that could potentially be better. And if you believe in your product, then why not? You're putting yourself out there and putting yourself on the map in terms of that organic real estate. And by not doing that, you're just kind of cutting yourself short. Yeah, there's a lot of like different tricky ways that you can kind of like direct traffic to your site and then kind of flip it. So yeah, it's kind of fun.
That's cool. And you mentioned something very interesting, which is Google cracking down on things, right? And what I mean by that is like at the same time with everything going on in the space with the huge trends when it comes to AI, I also been hearing that the utilization of AI is actually impacting people because Google now is getting smarter. Like you, I want to work with people that actually put original content rather than recycled content from AI. So I just want to touch briefly this point because I know a lot of people think, oh, I'm just gonna automate 2,000 blogs with an AI tool and that's gonna do the job. But like, what is your feedback on that?
Yeah, it's actually funny you say that. Google just released a like an announcement today that they're rolling out a new August 2024 core update, and that's kind of positioned in that sense to try and do their best to sort out the bad content, like looking at spammy sites, all that sort of stuff. The problem is Google doesn't really know AI versus non-AI content, so they're just doing their best. I think that it's pretty clear when people just take content straight from ChatGPT and throw it in and do something. Like if there's zero editing involved, like come on,
They can
you
feel
gotta do
it.
better than that. Yeah. So I think it's a hard territory. It's still so early in AI. At least from our perspective at Trio SEO, like we don't do any AI content. Everything's 100% human written just because we don't want to jeopardize our brand and clients' brands at the end of the day. So it really just comes down to how risk on you want to be with your brand and if you want to edit that content. But I mean, if you're going to do an AI article and spend 5 hours editing it, like you might as well just have written it from the start.
That's right. And when it comes to ranking these blogs, because that's another thing, like sometimes you can do a very good blog, but I heard that rankings getting tougher and tougher, and I'm sure like it's in the streaks in Amazon, most likely the streaks when it comes to blogs. So high level, is there something that you feel Google is taking consideration the most to give you the benefit of the doubt and rank you the highest compared to others?
Yeah, so Google's definitely trying to rank authority sites, and those are sites that have a better backlink profile, a quality backlink profile. And what I mean by that is like real votes of confidence from other sites that are choosing to link from site A to yours, et cetera. I think obviously as industries grow, there's going to be more demand in certain areas. So which also increases the difficulty to rank in certain categories of genres. I think the biggest thing is just being consistent around link building and building, allies in the space and partners in the space, and seeing how you can work together to, help each other out. But if you're just strictly being like, hey, I'm not going to focus on link building and you expect to have a lot of content rank well, like it's a much harder crawl to the top.
Yeah, for sure. Now another thing that when it comes to blog that I found super interesting is as well the fact that people sometimes have the question about what kind of blog is the most effective in the sense that educational or comparison or review format, because there's many ways that you can come out in terms of the structure of a blog. So I guess from the e-commerce perspective, which is what most of our audience is focused on, like what do you see is a structure that convey the most conversion and usually engagement in terms of the dynamic of the blog? Yeah, based on your experience.
Yeah, so the best of articles and versus articles are definitely going to convert the best just because of the intent behind them. Like if someone's looking for best, best winter jacket, like same example, like they're they're ready to buy. Like they are very close. They're just looking for
You
the
want to
best
find the best
option.
one.
Exactly. Versus same thing. So I think from a conversion standpoint, like having that content on your site is amazing, especially if you own the products. Like there's no reason you shouldn't be spending a Saturday to take pictures of all them, like throw them in the mud, like do whatever you need to do to test them out and like give a real review of them. I think that that's a really big gap in the market, is that people are, writing a paragraph, like a, a five sentence paragraph with some pros and cons around it. And it's like, do you think this should rank for it? Like, would you rank this content? And just like, trying to optimize it for the user experience. Like if it's an article like that, put a table at the top. Like, try to give people the biggest burst of information and the shortest summary so that they can make an educated decision within seconds, instead of having to read a 3,000 word article. Like no one has time for that.
Awesome. Now, when it comes to blogs, another thing I also been reading about is in terms of the content you use within the blog itself, images and all of that, right? As you mentioned briefly, Google is also getting very savvy when it comes if the content is original, if it's not original. And I guess what I would like to learn from you in terms of strategy, because I get this question a lot from e-commerce founders, is like, how you can effectively come up with enough content in an original format that is not going to flag anything in terms of unique images here and there. Like, have you come across any tools or maybe AI implementation where you can combine that with proper copywriting to have a nice flow throughout the blog?
Yeah, so images is really hard to get unique images. Like if you own a company or you have a brand, that's the best way to do it. Like for example, not e-commerce related, but just kind of a good example in general, is that like I worked on a pressure washing site and they went out and did cleanings and whatnot, and like they had someone just take photos of all their crew, and like we put that in the blog, and it performed so much better because they were branded authentic images. Same thing if you own an e-commerce site, like the images that look like they're taken on an iPhone will probably perform better because people connect to that instead of like this standard stock image with the shadow and the white background. It's like if they look fake, you should expect them to perform a little bit worse. The difficult part too is that if you do create content at scale, you have to find a lot of imagery. So there is somewhat of a trade-off with scale. So like, if we're pumping out articles on a monthly basis for products or for, clients, we're just going to use royalty-free images, and that's kind of like between a rock and a hard place, where we don't want it to be, copyrighted, obviously, but we don't have the capacity to insert an image with this specific section because it's just not realistic to do that for every client. So as long as the article is optimized, it will still perform well, and that's the biggest thing to remember. The images aren't going to make it or break it, especially if you have great alt text and you're including descriptive pieces about that imagery. But obviously, if you have the unique photos, it's going to perform much better.
Awesome. Now, from the perspective as well of the authority of the site where it's published, like, of course, I have also noticed that if you publish a blog on a domain that only has 1 month in terms of age compared to one that have 5 years, I'm sure there's some kind of difference in terms of the impact. So it would be great to also learn a little bit about that, because I know that has some impact. And based on that, like, how you mitigate that if you're somebody that is getting started, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to trust. I mean, that's how Google looks at your website. I mean, think about it from like your friends, like the friend of yours that you've known for 10 plus years, like you're gonna give him your car in a second. But if you met me today and I said, "Hey, can I borrow your car for a week?" He'd be like, "Eh, I don't know about that." Same thing with Google. It's like, how much do I trust this site, and should it deserve a top spot ranking? So mature sites with more credibility, obviously you're going to be able to rank better. The only way to really speed up that process is to just continue building backlinks, really high quality ones, not spammy ones. And it might make a 12-month timeline into a 6 or 9 month timeline, but at the end of the day, SEO just takes time.
Yeah, of course. Now, I would like to hear your take as well, in the perspective of backlinks, right? We also hear that that's a big strategy when it comes to blogs. Like, when it comes to that, like, is there any strategy just a recommend in terms of, let's say once you start having multiple blocks out there, I guess, will you say the strategy is to start interconnecting them in between themselves so they support their ACO? Like, how does it work on that from a strategic perspective as well? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's two things kind of there. So the first thing is what is called internal links, and that's going to be the content, like article A is connected to article B, and that's within your site. So internally linked content. Mm-hmm. Backlinks are an external link, meaning like if I on Trio SEO wanted to link to your, you know, e-commerce website, that's a backlink, and I'm giving you kind of like my vote of confidence in Google. So the more of those you get, that's kind of like the name of the game and how to succeed. And one of the best ways is surprisingly to just do a lot of podcasts, because like you just start to meet more people, you make connections, you get content, they get content. And like over time, enough people talk about you online, it kind of like transfers that trust from their brand over to yours.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Okay. And now in terms of, which is another thing I got asked a lot in terms of blogs. So let's say you want to start doing blogs in different languages, right? Like different, like Spanish, French, and all of that. How does it work from the perspective of, I guess, understanding what audience to tap? Because I'm sure, like, just to give an example of what I mean, like in Amazon, right? You know that for a fact in the United States, there's a much bigger audience compared to Spain or compared to France, compared to Italy. So I guess there's also, I'm sure, some kind of exercise that happens in terms of localizing blogs for languages and regions. So is that also a thing that you feel is happening very often, like a localization of blogs? And if so, what is some of the techniques you would say usually you recommend for that? Yeah,
so that's a really interesting one. It's I'm not a like multilingual SEO expert. It's a really hard space. The main thing is like, yeah, you write content in a very same structure. Like you're not reinventing the wheel. Like you're still doing strategy. You're still putting together like an outline or a brief and trying to rank it. You're writing it in that context, et cetera. The other thing too, is that there's a little bit more of like technical SEO aspects you'd want to include, like making sure that there's your like what are called like href language. It's like referencing the language of the site, and that's like more in the code on the back end to say like, if you're writing it in German or Spanish, like double check, hey, Google, make sure this is going to be, you know, directed to the right audience. So there is kind of some stuff there. Like, for example, like we have some clients in the UK, and the difference being is that we have to ensure that the languages have a little bit like, you know, like organization. For example, like you guys spell it with an S, we spell it with a Z. So things like that, where you have to make sure that there's overlapping. So but yeah, when you just go crazy off the board, like English versus Spanish, like it's completely different. So UK and, you know, stuff like that's a little bit easier to try and tackle.
Awesome. Now, I think, to be honest, we've been discussing so many interesting topics. I guess, is there anything from your side, of course, that you have so much experience that you feel we haven't touched on that you think would be important to highlight?
I think just the thing that like blogging is not dead, neither is SEO. Yes. I mean, like that's, everyone thinks that blogs are a dying breed. And obviously I think that consumer preferences are changing just with like how social search is coming, like TikTok and, you know, YouTube and like AI. But I mean, at the end of the day, you have to remember that Google has an incentive to showcase content because they make money on ads. So like SEO is definitely not going anywhere. And I think that the more you can invest in SEO from your own brand's perspective, like you're going to look back in a couple of years and be like, wow, I'm so happy I made this decision, because now you have that authority and expertise compared to your competitors. So if you constantly just focus on TikToks and all sorts of stuff, like you could be heading in that direction, but like SEO should definitely still be a part of your marketing equation.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, super important. I still see some of the most successful brands, when they go deep, they have a very strong SEO strategy still. It's one of their core backbones. So very important. Cool. So, Steven, I mean, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. You share so much wisdom in terms of strategy and execution. So thank you for that. I guess for people that really want to go deeper into this and really work with an expert like you to make it happen, like how people can reach out and work with you.
Yeah, you can reach me on LinkedIn. I'm very active, post daily, Steven Schneider, or you can just Google like Trio SEO. You can find me there through the website. We also have a special offer for your guests where if they want to work with us, we'll offer them 3 free articles in their first month, which is equal to like
Nice.
$1,200 in value. So yeah, it's a great offer. Just kind of let me know that you guys found us through this what this podcast. And yeah, we'll make it happen. We're excited to grow some brands and help drive some traffic.
Awesome, Steven. Thank you so much. Pleasure, and can't wait to have you in the next one. Yeah, take
Yeah,
care.
thanks.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.